Good afternoon, and welcome to Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. This is your boy, Alaric Anderson. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for whatever way you listen to the podcast, be it on Spotify, Apple Music, or on iHeart, or even if you listen to it on our dedicated website, www.alaricanderson.net. We thank you for listening and glad that you joined back with us on this great Monday, May 4th, 2020. We are still here, still talking about sports. Make sure we send out our love and our prayers and our thoughts to all of you all who are listening and dealing with the COVID-19 virus and wherever you are all over the world. And thank you for listening. Thank you for taking this time out. I'm glad to be able to give you a little time to just listen to some sports stuff and just kind of disconnect to some of the stuff that's going on. So I'm glad to be able to give this to you. Thank you. If you're new to the program, thank you for being a first-time listener. Those who are returning, thank you for coming back. If you're new, let me just give you a little background. We talk about sports on here. I am a sports fanatic. I'm a musician by trade and by love, but I also love talking about sports. And so we talk about sports, we talk about basketball, football, all of that. And this is the place to get the content from a fan who just loves talking about sports. So, hey, we just have a good time on here. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me on today. So I want to dive right in. We're going to talk about several different topics. We're going to talk about the NBA, of course. We got some stuff to talk about the NFL. We're going to touch on some of the great sports programming that's been on over the last few weeks, especially at Last Dance, the story about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls going on their last dance, going for that third title in 8 years, their second three-peat. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about some other great stuff that I watched over the last week. So, but before we get in that, I want to dive in. I want to shout out to the not shout out, but I want to talk about the NFL. NFL released their schedule for 2020-21, so 2020-21 season. Nothing really changed. Those of y'all football fans know that we kind of know who our teams are going to play. If you're a fan, you pretty much know who your team is going to play. You're just waiting to see how it's going to be scheduled and when it's going to be on television. So we're glad that, but they did, they kept their word. They released their schedule. One caveat to the schedule, though, this year, this season, there will be no international games. So no games in Mexico, no games in England, no games outside of the United States of America. Those of you all follow teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, they play several games overseas. If you're a Rams fan, you know, they were planning on playing. I believe they were going to play in Europe and in England and also in Mexico. I could be incorrect, but all of those international games have been canceled for this year. And so everything will be here. My hope in and canceled of the venues, not canceled of the games. They will still play a full schedule as of the release of the actual schedule. They'll still play a full schedule. All those games will still be played. They'll just be played in venues other than overseas. Hopefully what the NFL will decide to do with it, and this is my hope, especially being here in St. Louis where we've lost not one but two times on football, that they take some of these games and move them to venues where the NFL does not play regular season games, especially now that the XFL is no longer in existence. And you know, there are a lot of stadiums that were outfitted for the XFL that now sit dormant. There'll be great places for the NFL to come in and play some of their regular season games that are being rescheduled. I would also shout out to them. Hey, put some of your preseason games in those stadiums. But I digress. I just wanted to talk about that, the NFL releasing their schedule. And so as of now, the NFL has been one of those, has been the league that has tried the most to remain in a normal business mode. They had the draft, although the draft was done virtually, and we talked about that last week, and I think that was a great idea, and I think they really accomplished great things. I think it was a bigger success than Roger Goodell and the powers that be could have ever thought it would be. And so they had the draft. They announced the schedule. The camps don't really open up for NFL till late July, early August anyway. They have some virtual team stuff going on, some OTAs, some organized team activities that are going on right now virtually. There's been some movement as far as free agency, options, some fifth-year options for first-round draft choices from the 2017 draft have been declined or either picked up. One notable that was declined was Mitch Trubisky up in Chicago. That's a notable one considering they drafted Mitch Trubisky before Deshaun Watson and before Patrick Mahomes. They made a decision that they're going to go another direction with that position there in Chicago. There's some unsigned free agents still looking, especially from the quarterback position. Cam Newton is still out there as a free agent. Jameis Winston signed a 1-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. Andy Dalton was released and signed as a backup to Dak Prescott down in Dallas. So there's been still some movement, and the NFL has tried to be as normal, quote unquote, that they can be in this time of COVID-19, AC after COVID-19. So the NFL, shout out to them. Shout out to Roger Goodell and those guys, those men and women over in the NFL and in all 32 teams and all 32 cities of the NFL who have strove to give us some content to talk about. You know, as a football fan and as a podcaster, I'm really glad that they are doing their thing and giving us something to talk about other than what's not happening and giving us something to look forward to. I'm a Rams fan. If you're new to the show, I'm a big Rams fan, so I'm excited about this season. We got rid of Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is now down in Atlanta, but I'm excited. You know, we got some great with Cam Akers, with Jefferson, wide receiver, the two top draft choices that the Rams picked up, and some more moves that they'll probably make. I'm excited about the Rams season. I'm just excited and looking forward to football season. Speaking of football season, talk a little bit about what's going on in the NCAA. The NCAA, you know, the elephant in the room is what's going to go on with the college football season this year. And the NCAA has kind of been noncommittal across the board, with the exception of the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, the most powerful, most talented football conference in all of America. If you looked at the draft, no conference even came close to the players who were drafted in NFL. No conference even came close to first round picks from a conference. It's the dominant football conference in all of college football. Came out, Greg Sankey, the commissioner, came out this past week and said that the SEC's plan on playing does not necessarily have to connect with the NCAA and other schools, which what the SEC is telling us is get ready for the SEC to be playing this fall. The SEC, their schools, if you're not familiar where all their schools are, the SEC schools are Texas states that SEC schools are in. Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Missouri, Arkansas, South Carolina. Those are where SEC, Tennessee, those are where SEC schools are located. Some of those states have relaxed. I think I said Georgia and Louisiana. I maybe didn't say Louisiana also. Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Missouri. I think I got them all. But those states, of some of them have already opened up, have relaxed some of their social distancing. So I see the SEC letting you know that they're going to be playing. Also, there are a lot of schools who are outside of Power Five conferences who need those schools to be open, who need the paydays from those schools. For instance, I'm a Mizzou alum. Mizzou's first opponent this year in football, non-conference opponent, first game right off the bat, I believe September 5th, is against Central Arkansas. Central Arkansas needs the payday from playing the University of Missouri. So you're going to see, even if some conferences kind of shy away, those paychecks are sitting out there, and some of those schools make more money from playing the larger schools, the Power Five schools, in an away game than they take in for their entire year of revenue from on-campus games. So they need these games. They need to keep these relationships open. And the sad thing about it, if you are a school who is scheduled to play one of those Power Five schools this year, and for some reason you cannot play them, and you are the reason that it's canceled, you can probably guess, you can probably count on not getting that opportunity again for a long time. And that's really, really sad for some teams. Some schools need that. Some athletic programs at smaller schools are driven by their football teams being able to play that non-conference schedule where they're playing the big boys, where they're traveling to play at Mizzou. And when I say big boys, I'm talking about Power Five conference schools. I'm not necessarily saying you need to be going to play LSU, the national champion, but you know, going to play Colorado, if you're a school, a small Division I school, and you get an opportunity to go to Boulder, Colorado, and play the University of Colorado, who's a Pac-10 team, and get that payday to fill one of those non-conference slots, you want to go get that money. You want to get that. You, or if you're one of those teams that you did a 3-for-1 and now this is your year that Arkansas comes and plays at your place, you want that to happen. So I think the SEC is kind of forcing the hand of the NCAA, and I think there will be college football. Now, with that said, how do you do that on campus? How do you have fans at the games? Because college football needs fans. College football, you can't really play college football in an empty stadium. My idea is only allow the students, faculty, and staff of the university and the people who live in those cities to attend the games. So don't have the influx of alumni and people from out of town this season coming in, doing tailgates, doing all that. Don't do that this season. This season, leave it open to the students, the staff, the faculty, and the people who live in those communities. For instance, again, I'm an alum of the University of Missouri. So if you said, hey, Mizzou alum, me, you can't come to the games this year. Please watch on television, host watch parties all over the state. But the only kids, only people that we allow to come to the actual stadium, to Memorial Stadium, for Roe Field at Memorial Stadium, will be the students, faculty, staff, and residents of the city of Columbia. You could fill that stadium every weekend, lower the ticket prices, bring them in. Alumni who are worried about, you know, the team and all that, keep paying for your season tickets. Come back next year. But I think if schools adopted that policy, we could still have some great games, some great fan interaction. I think students would enjoy being the drivers of the fan narratives. I think kids will, you know, we see sections in some of these games of kids. That's because the kids are only, and when I say kids, I mean college kids. I got kids in college, so I can say kids. I mean, there you see these camera images of the kids dressed up for the games and all that, but it's a small section of most of these stadiums. And if you open it up just for this year, and in this COVID-19 environment, I think first of all, you'll be able to do social distancing. Number two, I think you get a whole different kind of vibe, to some extent, social distancing to some extent, but you get a whole nother vibe that will really lend itself to being great when it comes to college sports. So That's my idea for getting fans in the stadium for NCAA football this fall. So hopefully somebody's listening and will pick up on my idea. So that's the NFL and college football. That's what they're going to do. The NBA, moving on, because this is going to be really interesting over the next few weeks. The NBA is trying to figure out a way to play their rest of their season this year. You have some teams that feel like that window is closing. When the season ended on that Wednesday night, it was time to start jockeying for playoff positions. You had teams that were gearing up for the stretch run. You have teams like the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis who are running on a clock. Anthony Davis and his representation, Rich Paul, has already said that Anthony Davis is going to be a free agent after this season. That team, as constructed, this is probably the last year for that team. You had the defending champion, Toronto Raptors, who are making a run in the East, proving that last year wasn't a fluke. You have the Milwaukee Bucks, who feel like they need to make a move this year because Giannis will be in his walk year next year. You had Houston, who felt like this with the Russell Westbrook combination with James Harden, this was going to be their opportunity to make a run. You had teams like OKC, who was sitting in the cut with Chris Paul down there looking to make a run in the playoffs. Some young upstarts, the Memphis Grizzlies, led by Ja Morant, looking to make some moves. You had Miami down there getting ready to get in their groove with Iguodala, the cagey veteran added down there with Jimmy Butler and those young, and Bam Adebayo and those guys down there. So it was looking like we were getting ready to go into the playoffs and really have an interesting playoff time. Of course, the Golden State Warriors, my team, was not going to be a part of this picture, but I was looking forward to it, and the NBA was looking forward to it also. I don't want to leave out the Los Angeles Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George. So the NBA had a lot riding on this season. And so since the day they shut down, they've been looking for a way to get those games back. They've run into some issues. One of the issues is a public perception issue. In order for the NBA to get back on the court, they would have to test about 15,000 people. It's not that they wouldn't be able to get the test. They just don't want the optics of 15,000 basketball players and people who work in those front offices and teams getting these tests before people who are normal Americans getting those tests. It's bad optics, it's bad business, and they don't want it. They got backlash after those initial tests down in OKC when Rudy Gobert and those guys, when Rudy Gobert first contracted, and they tested the entire Utah Jazz team and the entire Oklahoma City Thunder team. The NBA already caught backlash from that, and they do not want to catch any more backlash. Matter of fact, last week, Adam Silver sent out a memo to all the teams that if you have do not test asymptomatic players. Do not test asymptomatic players, which tells me they are really worried about the perception. So the public perception of the league during this time of this pandemic. However, on the other hand, they are really trying to get these games back going on. Last week, it was floated a proposal to play the games at the Wide World of Sports, ESPN's Wide World of Sports down in Florida, down as a part of the Disney World complex. That was floated out there. People was talking about it, but that was pretty much poo-pooed this week when it was found that there was a guy down there living in Discovery Island. So that pretty much took Disney off the table. And then all of a sudden, on yesterday, I believe, there was a article published in the New York Times, and byline was wild ideas to bring back sports might say more about cities than leagues. And it talks about written by Kevin Draper of the New York Times. And there is a proposal on the table that somehow, a proposal deck that was sent to the NBA and the WNBA was sent to them by MGM, the MGM Resorts International company that owns has ownership in more than a dozen hotels and casinos in Las Vegas. They sent a pitch to NBA, the WNBA, National Hockey League, and the Major League Soccer, but come on, let's be honest. They don't want really want soccer there. They don't want hockey there. What they want is the NBA to come and play their games. And of course, I don't know how this, you know, the spokesman for MGM Resorts says they don't know how this got out. I think it's incredible timing that the minute that that issue down at Disney World was exposed with the guy living on the grounds. This came out. They said that they're in ongoing conversation with the leagues about having televised only events. And here's kind of a breakdown of what they're offering. According to the New York Times, the centerpiece for this proposal to the NBA is Mandalay Resort. And Mandalay base has roughly, that resort area has roughly 4,700 rooms with three connected hotels. It's on the south end of the strip. So if you're familiar with Las Vegas, that south end of the strip, you got Mandalay Bay, you got Luxor, all of that down there. And it would include the Mandalay Bay, the Four Seasons, and the Delano. It will also, as I mentioned, the Luxor, it will include the Luxor. So according to this proposal, there will be four hotels that will be a part of this. Mandalay Bay, the Four Seasons, the Delano, and the Luxor. The Luxor will be specifically for the MGM service staff, like the housekeepers and the caterers and all that. That's where there will be. And then the NBA teams, families, and staff, and everybody needed from the networks would be housed in the other rooms. Now, earlier this week, Brian Windhorst on The Jump on ESPN, great show, Rachel Nichols, he mentioned that part of the issue with the players was being separated from their families for, you know, even if it's just a month. Can you imagine being in this time, being separated from your families and to play basketball? So that was one of the things that they were concerned about. And that was another thing that, again, was on the table as I was talking about with the 15,000 tests, where apparently this proposal would allow players and their families to be in this kind of bubble, this resort bubble. Mandalay Bay, their convention center, could hold as many as 24 basketball courts because Mandalay Bay is already the home of the Las Vegas Aces, which is a WNBA franchise. They would use five of them to telecast the games. The other one would be used for practice. And the MGM also is proposing getting access to the Thomas and Mack Center, where the UNLV running Rebels play. And that's on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, which is near, very, very close to the Strip and where they hold the NBA's annual Summer League. The thing that's really interesting about this proposal also is that MGM is offering to take care of any of the safety, health, and quarantine protocols. They have hired a health and safety consultant, and they would secure all the necessary medical testing equipment. So what that means is the NBA would play there and wouldn't have to worry about the public perception of getting tests and all that. It would be in Las Vegas. They'll be able to be in a secure area. There's no place more secure than hotels in Las Vegas. Because of the way Las Vegas is set up, there's one way in and one way out. If you got to come in Las Vegas International and the Strip, that is a perfect place to play it. I was cool with the Disney thing until I found out how lax they were with the security there. So this would be great. I was having a conversation with my son. We talk about a lot of things. And I said, look, man, this is what's going to happen. I said that when this Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary, which we're going to talk about in a minute, wraps up, when that wraps up, the NBA is going to announce that they're going to come back. So this wraps up the middle of May. NBA is going to announce that they're going to come back, and it'll probably be mid to late June when they start playing again. They're going to play the playoffs, and they're going to finish the season, and they're going to do it all in Las Vegas. You heard it here first. That's what's going to happen. The NBA is going to play and finish this season in Las Vegas. Now, as a side note, the NBA Board of Governors, which is their owners, have already been discussing starting next season in December. Now, this is conversations that were going on for you NBA fans. These were conversations that were going on before the stop because of the pandemic, pushing back the NBA season because some owners believe that if they push back the start of the season to mid to late December, that they would bypass the meat of the NFL schedule and kind of, you know, have a space that's just theirs. So this is not something that is new to the table. They are still talking about that. If that happens, that means the draft will probably happen September. There wouldn't be a summer league per se. There would be a fall league or something like that. And training camps would open probably late October and then start games in December. Right now, the season starts late October. And so this would be a big change for the NFL, but I think it's something that's probably going to happen. So that's the latest on the NBA. Fingers crossed. Of course, we want them to do what's best for the players, what's best for the families. But as a fan, I would be very excited to know that the NBA is coming back to finish this season. I can't wait. Now, as a Golden State Warriors fan, we're already on next season mode. We're already getting ready for the draft. But as a basketball fan overall, excited to see what's going on with the NBA. And at least they're having some real discussions about bringing the teams back and bringing the season back. Also, as it relates to college basketball, as it relates to the NBA, there are a lot of players who are deciding not to come to college and take the G League route. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get a little bit more knowledge about what direction the NBA is going to go in this all this time where they're trying to figure out if they're going to finish playing the season, win the draft, and all that is going to come about. We're going to talk about the massive change that is happening. Also, the NCAA with their new ruling allowing players to make money off of their likenesses and images, with the exception of video games. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth in a later show. The NBA is interesting what's going to happen in a few, not just this season, finishing this season, and not in the next season, but see what happens. Will they broaden, add more teams, G League? Right now, there are not 30 G League teams. There are not one team for every NBA team. Same thing with the WNBA. If I was the NBA, if they was asking me, I would do that with WNBA, and I would do that with the G League. I would add a team in each of those markets, a women's team, a WNBA team, and a G League team in each of those markets, and see what happens. I think that basketball could take a quantum leap in doing that. Nobody asked me, but Adam Silver, if you want to give me a call, hey, hit me up. You can send me an email at 7musicandsports@gmail.com. SevenMusic and sports@gmail.com. If you want to holler at me, my people will get with your people and we'll talk. Just joking. Hey, so that's my NBA talk as it relates to on the court, off the court, man. Oh, my God, this basketball talk. Two great things. First of all, if you are a lover of sports history and of great athletes, there are two documentaries that you need to watch. The first one is The Women of Troy. It's an HBO documentary on the USC Lady Trojans basketball team, which featured the greatest women player of all time, Cheryl Miller. Nobody will dispute that. The greatest women's basketball player of all time, Cheryl Miller. That team had her, Pam and Paula McGee, the McGee twins. It had, oh my God, Cynthia Cooper, the first WNBA player to be inducted in Basketball Hall of Fame. Great. It was awesome. You need to watch that. If you want to know, if you want to see the leaps and bounds that women basketball has made over the last 35 years and you want to see what the impetus of it, it was that Lady Trojan team led by the greatest women's player of all time, Cheryl Miller. Make sure you look at that. Make sure you watch that. It's great. I ain't going to spoil it for you. I'm just telling you, you need to watch that. It's a great, great watch. And I know the world is watching The Last Dance, and episodes 5 and 6 just aired on yesterday. I'm not going to go deep in it. I'm just going to tell you, this is some phenomenal television. Seeing this story, even remembering being around back in those days, some of the stuff I forgot, some of the, I didn't remember, putting two and two together, remembering some stuff that happened. Man, this is a phenomenal work of art. And Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and he had some stuff going on. So make sure, if you haven't watched it, you can see it. I'm sure it's on demand. It was produced by ESPN and Netflix. They make sure they show that. So I'm sure that this will be on Netflix. If you're one of those people who just say, I'll wait till it's on Netflix, this will be on Netflix. I promise you. I promise you that this will be on Netflix, probably with a lot more content. It's an incredible watch. It comes on Sunday evenings. They have two different, on ESPN, they show the version that is uncut, meaning there's mature language. And I believe on ESPN2, they have the version that is edited for television, edited it for strong language. So you gotta watch those two as a basketball fan. And then just from a life standpoint, and just a phenomenal also work of art, ESPN be doing it, man. E60, Project 11, the story of the recovery of Alex Smith. If you don't know Alex Smith was the number one draft choice of the San Francisco 49ers a few years back, quarterback out of University of Utah, was quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. I believe he won 11 games the Patrick Mahomes rookie year. He was released, I believe traded or released, and played with the Washington Redskins, out there balling with the Redskins, and then one fateful day playing against the Houston Texans. Really got his leg not just broke, but this is horrible fracture. And it talks about the recovery from that and what he had to deal with from not just the fracture, but the infection from the fracture. It is really graphic, but it is really good. Stefania Bell is ESPN's injury expert, and she does the interviewing on this. It is an incredible watch. It takes us from the injury to up until now to see what he's done. I'm telling you, if you're squeamish, you don't want to watch this. There's some graphic images in this, and to see where this dude is right now, I'm just telling you, you need to watch Project 11. It's the E60 Project 11, Alex Smith. It's a phenomenal watch. So good. Shout out to that family though, and all prayers for Alex Smith on his recovery. It's an incredible watch. So if you're sitting at home, you don't know, if you're a sports fan and you're fiending, and you hear about ESPN getting ready to put Korean baseball on, and you're getting excited about that, and because you're fiending for some sports, watch those. I gave you three things that can, you know, that you can really take in as a sports fan and get a deeper knowledge of what's going on in the field and get a deeper knowledge of these athletes that we revere and we cheer for and that we boo. This is some great television and some great viewing out there for sports fans. So, look, this is the end of the show. It's been great being with you guys. You know, I love having this conversation with you all. And that's all we're really doing. We're having a conversation every Monday via this podcast. Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. I'm so glad that you're listening. Look, if you are a music fan and you want to hear and see me talk about music, the thing that I really love, I do a show that's a Facebook Live show every Wednesday called In the Studio. You need to come on and check that out. Last two weeks we've been talking about Prince because I'm a big Prince fan. We've been talking about some of these versus battles that's happened, and of course the Babyface versus Teddy Riley, the John P. Key versus Hezekiah Walker. We're going to talk about the one that's coming up that was just announced with Jill Scott and Erykah Badu. Look, this is some great stuff. Shout out to Swiss Beats and Timbaland for doing this. But that's what we talk about on In the Studio every Wednesday on Facebook Live. So if you want to see me and hear me talk about the thing that I do and the thing that I really, really love, music, check us out on that. But, hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening again. If you want to drop us a line, if you like the show and you want to tell us, or you don't like the show and you want to tell us, send me an email, 7musicandsports, S-E-V-N, musicandsports@gmail.com. Go ahead and shoot that to me. I'm on every social media outlet. You can go ahead and send me Musician Al on Instagram, Musician Al on Twitter, Alaric Anderson on Facebook. Shoot me a line, shoot me a direct message, and I will get it and I will listen to it. Follow us, share us. If you're new to the program or you really like what you heard today, please share this broadcast via your social media, whatever you do. Just thank you for listening. Appreciate the time that you're taking with us. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Praying for your family, praying that all is well with you all, praying for this country, and we will see you again this time next week. Thank you, and God bless.